This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake up! Wake up! Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Josh Kendall from The Athletic, who covers the Falcons. Josh, thank you for joining us this morning. Let's start with the main question in Chicago. What makes Drew Dahlman the best center available in free agency?
He's just a really solid player. So I think this will be a legitimate, you know, bidding war may be too strong, but a competition.
Bring in James Boyd from 107.5 The Morning Show, who can tell us all about Will Fries, the guard for the Colts. Why should Bears fans want Will Fries on their offensive line?
I think it's because he's steady. And from what I understand, should also command a good amount on the open market.
Let's go out to San Francisco. Evan Giddings covers the 49ers for 95.7 The Game. Tell us about the reasons why Aaron Banks would be somebody the Bears would want.
Number one, cash. Aaron Banks has kind of priced him out of that San Francisco 49ers range. But this is a player that is 2 years removed from, I think, having one offensive penalty against him as far as holds go.
You better bring a lot of money, Ryan Poles.
The Rams traded Jonah Jackson, whom they added in free agency last year, to the Chicago Bears for a sixth-round draft pick.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Hey, good morning, fellas. Love listening to you guys every morning. Appreciate what you do.
Let's go.
Good Wednesday morning, Chicago. Welcome to the Mully and Haw Show. Mully is out today. We are here till 10 o'clock. Talking Bears, talking Bulls. This is the one week, not one week, this is one of those weeks where all five professional sports teams in the city of Chicago are doing relevant things. And if you're a Bears fan, you have been waiting for this, well, since last week. This is fun. This is fun, awaiting free agency. Last week was fun because of the combine. This is an exciting offseason with hope and confidence and Ben Johnson. And yesterday, it became a little bit more interesting because the Bears made a trade and the offseason began in earnest. When you make a deal like the Bears just made, then this is when you begin to reshape your roster. So we will talk about that. We've got a big show today. Bigs time at 7. Bruce Levine out in Arizona, 8:25. Chris Chelios, our weekly check-in with Chelly at 8:45, then Zach Zaidman. Where is Zach? Where in the world is Zach? Is he in Providence? Is he in Phoenix? He's out east because he's got DePaul basketball tonight, 5:30, right here on The Score. We'll check in with Zach after a very busy week, get his thoughts on the Cubs and PCA. He's back. Cubs had a fun day yesterday, too. So we will have a lot of opportunities and your calls and texts and contributions throughout the show. But let's start with the biggest show in town. That's the Bears. That's always the Bears. And yesterday, when they made a trade for Jonah Jackson, the offensive lineman, I'm going to say left guard until told otherwise. I'm going to say left guard until we hear from the Bears, because Jonah Jackson is a left guard. He has played center. He has played right guard. But he pencils in best at left guard. They traded the Rams a sixth-round draft pick for a guy who is a day one starter. I think you are getting him to start, and that should not be ambiguous for anyone. You see what he's making next year. This is an expensive player. This is a 1 year commitment to that expensive player. There will be $17.5 million invested in Jonah Jackson. In the NFL, that will tell you how much you should expect from somebody. What are they paying him? What is the financial commitment? With Jonah Jackson, it's about 1 year, $17.5 million. And this is a guy who understands Ben Johnson's demeanor. He gets Ben Johnson's approach. He also probably is a step ahead, a half step ahead of most people in terms of knowing Ben Johnson's offense. And Ben Johnson's offense, as we have heard and will continue to talk about, he's ripping it down to the studs. And he's starting over with Caleb Williams. Not all over, not totally from scratch. Ben Johnson's offense is still structurally going to be similar to what it was in Detroit. Different players, same scheme, same approach. Jonah Jackson has been in a meeting room and been in a huddle hearing Ben Johnson's play calls told him by the quarterback and executed on the field. This is why he's here. This is why they traded him for him, and this is a step in the right direction. This is a good trade. This is a good trade because let's look at what it cost you. Close to nothing. Day three draft pick, the Justin Fields pick. So essentially you are trading Justin Fields for an offensive lineman. Smart move. This is the Pittsburgh Steelers giving you a sixth round pick that you flipped to get a starting left guard. Basically, it costs you money. You know what the Bears have more than anything this offseason besides hope? Money. They are the third highest amount of cap space among NFL teams. So Jonah Jackson getting a roster bonus and a $9 million base salary, I believe next year it is. That is going to be a sizable investment for a big man, but it's money well spent. Here's the thing about the trade that I didn't quite get yesterday, but I should never be surprised. The people that you see on social media may be wondering, questioning, doubting if this is a good move, because we'll get to some of the questions here in a moment. But this is where I landed. We have spent already this early part of the offseason, since the Bears hired Ben Johnson, talking about the need for a revamped and retooled offensive line. So when you lament that, and you know that that is priority one, and then they take a step in that direction to replenish and rebuild and retool their offensive line, I don't get the complaining. There shouldn't be that much complaining. This should be at least encouraging that the Bears understand what's wrong with their roster. And they are taking steps, creative steps, to go out and address it. This isn't just buying a player in free agency or drafting one at number 10. This is trading one. This is identifying somebody who is having a problem with a fit on a team and strategically going out and making an offer and executing a deal. This is smart. This is the way that Ryan Poles is approaching this, and I think his first big move of the offseason was a good one. Now, here's where the thing gets a little tricky. He hasn't been as durable as you might have liked or would have wanted. So here's the irony of the whole situation. You are basically trading for Jonah Jackson to replace Tevin Jenkins, correct? Dustin, that's one for
that's
one.
That's one of the things to connect the dots.
Okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So Tevin Jenkins is a free agent. He's gone. You're replacing him with now Jonah Jackson. Why would Tevin Jenkins be out the door? Because he's not been available. And the biggest ability is availability. Tevin Jenkins has played in 39 of the last 51 games in a Chicago Bears uniform. 39 out of 51. Always hurt, every body part on the injury report throughout the season. We know the Tevin Jenkins story well because we've told it since he was drafted in 2021. You know who went, I think, five spots after Tevin Jenkins? Jonah Jackson. Out of Ohio State, played at Rutgers, did his grad transfer year with the Buckeyes. But over the last 51 games, Jonah Jackson has played in 29 games, 10 fewer than Tevin Jenkins. So the ceiling is higher. He's got a Pro Bowl selection on his resume, which doesn't mean as much as it used to. But you are replacing Tevin Jenkins with somebody who over the last 51 games has been more absent. So I get the concern, but I do think you have to take a swing if you're Ryan Poles. You've got to take a swing. You've got to be aggressive. You've got to be strategic. And it helps tremendously to get somebody who was known in Detroit as a good locker room guy. And Ben Johnson was there to benefit from that leadership and knows what he's getting when Jonah Jackson walks through the locker room door. I get it, 815. I'm getting Nate Davis vibes. I don't think it's the same thing.
No, not even close. No, you could get Tevin Jenkins vibes, as you mentioned. You cannot. This is more about Ben Johnson than it is about the general manager. Ben clearly wants this guy on his team.
That's the biggest point. And that's as big of a takeaway from this as I think if you want to look big picture and zoom out in the 35,000-foot view of the Bears. Ben Johnson's input on offseason moves and personnel decisions is going to be real. And the concerns about Ryan Poles returning for a fourth season and all the judgments that we have scrutinized, second-guessed, and criticized, maybe a lesser concern. Ben Johnson's voice is the loudest at Hallis Hall. This underscores that. So I do wonder how that will affect free agency, because I look at some of the guys were, you know, we did the whip around yesterday. We heard that coming in. That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. Going to Atlanta, going to Indy, going to San Francisco. We're talking about the guys who are available, Fries and Dahlman and Banks. And yes, the Bears should be in line and how much will they cost? I don't know if Ben Johnson likes those guys. Just going to be up front. You just don't know. Who had Jonah Jackson as the first veteran to join the Bears from another team? Nobody even. How many people were Googling Jonah Jackson yesterday? Who is this guy? Oh, Ben Johnson knows him. Oh, okay. We're good. So that's the thing to keep in mind. Ben Johnson is the head coach making $13 million a year, the seventh highest paid head coach in the NFL. He's also the de facto either assistant general manager or one step above Ryan Poles, because Ben Johnson's input on personnel decisions is real, and this is evidence of that.
So if it works out, kudos to Ben Johnson. If it doesn't work out, then it's the first check mark against Ben Johnson. This is a Ben Johnson offseason move, 100%.
Yes.
If Ben Johnson wasn't here, Jonah Jackson wouldn't be here. They wouldn't have made this trade, I don't think, without Ben Johnson.
I don't think so. He was in a bad situation in L.A. They tried to make him a center. He had the injury. There were some things that we'll talk about throughout the show. But, yes, I agree with that. This was a targeted player because maybe Ben Johnson had a list of guys who he looked around the league and he knew that, you know, they might be available. So
the Rams had to spend on Matt Stafford. Even though the salary cap went up, the Rams had other places they needed to spend their money on.
And Jonah Jackson was one of those players that the Rams gave permission to seek a deal. So chances are Jonah Jackson's representatives might have reached out to the new Bears coach who had a good reputation from a guy who had played for him before. So this is a step in the right direction, Bears fans. This is a offensive lineman coming in to start. So now if you want to do the math, you have, theoretically, two offensive line starters with three spots to be filled. Still need a center, looking at a right guard, and there's uncertainty at left tackle, with due respect to Braxton Jones. Now, you can live with Braxton Jones. He can be your serviceable starter. I'm not down on him as much as I was maybe at the end of the season. He's recovering from an injury as well, but These are discussions that are ongoing, but right now you know you've got two guys to pencil in. So Jonah Jackson is a Bear. Looking forward to talking to Big Z about that at 7 o'clock. You know who's not going to be a Bear? In all likelihood. This was the other big news yesterday. Jack Sanborn, not tendered a contract. The Bears chose not to tender Jack Sanborn a contract, so the guaranteed $3.26 million, a little bit too rich for the Bears' blood, and they let him walk into free agency. Now, there is an outside chance, I suppose. Haven't done a ton of reporting on this yesterday. I did talk to a bunch of, I talked to probably three people that I know in the league about Jonah Jackson. We'll get to some of those impressions later in the show because they're interesting. I don't know enough about the Jack Sanborn decision as far as, was this a bad scheme fit? Was this too expensive? Which I'm guessing is the reality. Or are they just, his time is, his expiration date arrived. I don't like it. I like the Jonah Jackson move. I don't like this move. I think that you keep good football players in your organization. Jack Sanborn is a good football player. I'm not going to, you know, feel I'm going to change my opinion of the Bears or next season's predictions or projections because Jack Sanborn's not there. But he's a special teamer. He's a willing tackler. He's also a guy that loved being a Chicago Bear. Not just because he's from Lake Zurich, but I think that he represented the franchise well. And I hope he returns on a maybe cheaper contract. But my sense is, and I, again, don't know this from asking, but it bears looking a little bit further into. My sense is there's going to be a team out there that values his special teams work and signs him and guarantees him more than the Bears were willing to guarantee him, which would be a shame. He's a fan favorite. And not just because he's from Lake Zurich, just because of the way that he played. It might have something to do with it. But I didn't like that move yesterday.
I didn't either. That's disappointing. And I think he was also playing potentially out of position with the Bears.
Strong side linebacker.
Might be a better fit inside. Might be better as the Mike.
Let me say this, and this is not my – people will say this might be the hot take of the day. It's early, folks. Don't worry. We've got plenty more.
They're coming.
They're coming.
Pick six.
I think the Bears have probably, with Jack Sanborn on the roster, they probably have two linebackers that are better, would be better middle linebackers than Tremaine Edmonds.
I think everybody's finally on board.
Tremaine Edmonds would be the guy that if I were Dennis Allen and I were looking at the tape, I would rethink everything about my linebacking core. Now, you don't have Jack Sanborn anymore, and you're in nickel a lot of the time, and I know that
that's not his strength.
That's not his strength, and you know you have Kyler Gordon, and I understand the percentages. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but you are in need of a strong side linebacker, maybe on first and second down, maybe not, maybe 40% of the time. But of your three linebackers, I think if you looked at it, Jack Sanborn and TJ Edwards would be better middle linebacker options in this 4-3 scheme than Tremaine Edmonds, who I think is Velcro on running plays. He sticks to blockers way too long, can't get off blocks, and wasn't being impactful. You put him on the will, you put him on the weak side, you put him in the spot where he has a little bit more flexibility and can be in space, as they say, a little bit more, and perhaps his athleticism is a little bit more obvious.
Right. He's around the ball quite a bit.
Yes.
He's around the ball quite a bit, but unfortunately, it's usually 6 or 7 yards down the field.
I also think that TJ Edwards would be a terrific middle linebacker. He's a terrific weak side linebacker, but I think he's more natural in the middle, where Sanborn also could play. Both those Wisconsin guys, they know how to play football. I'm disappointed Sanborn won't be back. The worst case scenario now is that we know how much the Green Bay Packers value special teams. Can you imagine the Green Bay Packers plucking the former Wisconsin linebacker, putting him in green and gold, and him getting up 2 times a year to play the Bears?
Thanks a lot, David. It's only 5. It's only 5:49 in the morning, okay? And you're giving me a stomachache with that idea.
All right, so on to the Bulls. On to the Bulls. Boy, that was fun last night for a while. The Bulls were playing the Cavaliers and giving the best team in the Eastern Conference all they could handle. Without Josh Giddey, without Lonzo Ball, without all these guys, they played shorthanded, and they still were competitive. So in some ways, when you lose by 22, you're like, what's going on here? But it was close. And their starting lineup of Trey Jones, Coby White, Zach Collins, Montez Buzelis, and Daylon Terry. Goodness sakes, where is everybody? Where did all the talent go? And yet, they were tied 107. 107-107. 7 minutes to go. And then the Cavs said, wait a second. We are the best team in the East. We do have Donovan Mitchell. Strus is on the loose. And this is the way you're supposed to win. And they woke up and they scored 32 points over the final 7 minutes, outscoring the Bulls 32-10 and ran away with a 22-point victory, 139-117. Actually, an entertaining night at the United Center. That is what an NBA champion, potential NBA champion, looks like. Remember when AK was talking at the trade deadline about, well, in the NBA, you really want to have 8 to 10 guys. You want to have that team, the committee. Now, I know Donovan Mitchell is a star. Donovan Mitchell is one of those guys, top 10 player in the league, I think. Would you say that, Brandon? Donovan Mitchell, top 10 player?
I agree. He's definitely a top 10 player. He should be in MVP discussions. He's probably not going to win it because of Shea, but he should be right there.
I like that. He's probably all NBA this year. He is probably all NBA. So you got that guy, but you also have five or six guys around him that you feel like if you took one away, they're going to miss something big. And the Cavs are built the way AK described. They have depth, and they've got talent. And they've got, if Donovan Mitchell misses a game or is off or is injured, you don't feel like they're going to be, wow, what's going to happen now? They've got guys who can step up. And they're playing like a team that's being prepared and conditioned for the playoffs. No starter played more than 30 minutes last night. They have Javonte Green in there. How about seeing him again? They've got Darius Garland. You know who they are. And who they are is one of the best teams in the NBA. So that was fun. And the Bulls are just trying. Montez Buzelis in 31 minutes. He had 17 points. Coby White, 23. Talen Horton-Tucker somehow had 18 points in 31 minutes. He's a walking bucket. Zach Collins, another strong game. So the Bulls come close, but not enough against the best team in the East. And then the Cubs, they scored 16 runs. Offense was not a problem for the Cubs. PCA in the Little League home run. What is this back and forth with Bruce Levine and Pete Crow Armstrong about maturity? This was fun to hear yesterday.
You talked a lot, a couple times, about maturity. Do you sense that? I mean, obviously it's a natural thing for a young person and a young athlete to grow as he moves along.
What was your question there?
The question is, you know, maturity, is that something that, you know, you're realizing as you continue to grow in the job itself?
Well, I mean, maturity happens, I guess. It happens as you get older, hopefully, if you decide to let that in, I guess. But, I mean, if it was up to me yesterday, it was a collaboration, but I think if I was alone here without a support staff or a training staff, I probably would have been on the field, but that may not have been the right decision. But, you know, maturity is not something I focus on. I think that's something that you gain or don't as you get older and whatever. But, I mean, everybody in here is mature for the most part. I don't know. I've lacked in certain areas, I guess.
Maturity happens. I love it. Put
for
it on
the
a
most
t-shirt.
Part, for the most part, in here, right? That would have been a foul. Like, who are you suggesting is not mature?
Maybe he was poking fun at himself. He's you know, Pete Crow Armstrong is many things, but he, I think, is definitely fun. His personality, he's engaging. He's confident. He's charismatic. He's an easy guy to like. I love that Bruce has that rapport with him, so that Pete Crow Armstrong feels comfortable enough to talk the way that he does. And this guy is just yesterday with the home run we'll get to, but he is a joy to watch, and it was a relief to see him back on the base paths, not worried about the hamstring, running around like a 12-year-old at a Little League game, joyously running across home plate after they threw the ball into center field. So the Cubs win. Sox were off. They're back in action today. Hawks back at tonight, too. Spencer Knight, what a night it will be, maybe, at the United Center. I'm going to use all those puns.
Now, seriously, like, really, do you think... I was glad we saw him play. They could have used the excuse, you know, he had a move, this and that. Like, what do you think? Do you think he's out there tonight, or do you think they are going to give him a breather to get his feet on the ground here in a new town? And
I sure hope so.
Get the headset back and their new pads.
I sure hope so. They're playing the Ottawa Senators.
Good team.
Good team.
Bill Tkachuk?
Yeah, Brady.
He'll be here?
Yeah, I think. All right. Matthew's the one who's hurt.
Matt's hurt.
Brady's not hurt, right? Brady's here. Spencer Knight better be here. Connor Bedard better show up tonight at the United Center. Yeah, stop. Stop.
He scored how many goals the other night?
Six.
And he had how many points?
None.
What's going on?
Well, okay, that's the next question. They took care of the goaltender first. They'll get to Bedard next. And they will get to the Ottawa Senators tonight at the United Center. We're going to talk Hawks in the Pick Six along with other things. A lot going on in Chicago sports this week. It's going to be a fun day. It's going to be a great show on this Wednesday. The Pick Six is next. It's Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It's Pick Six with Mullion Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Did you like the Bears trading a six-round draft pick for the Rams for guard Jonah Jackson, an off-injured player who will earn $17.5 million next season in roster bonus and salary combined? How do you see Jackson fitting in to this offensive line?
I'd like this move a lot because it seems intentional to me. The Bears targeted a player they knew was familiar with Ben Johnson's scheme and approach from having spent several seasons with him in Detroit before going to L.A. last year in free agency, signing a three-year, $51 million contract with the Rams. And it didn't work out because he got a shoulder injury, and then he was coming back, and he got re-injured, and it just wasn't very good in terms of his experience with the Rams. So they let him seek a trade. But at one point in time, Sean McVay thought he was worth signing, and what happened in L.A. happened in L.A. He is an injury issue and a concern, but I don't know that if you're Ben Johnson, that was enough to keep you away from somebody who might help answer your biggest problem and biggest question about your offensive line. So I reached out yesterday, a couple offensive people I know around the league, one who has been an offensive line coach and is now currently on an NFL staff, said this about Jonah Jackson, who he scouted coming out when he was a free agent a year ago, said that he was a top-tier guard when healthy. The comparison was to Roger Saffold, the former L.A. And Tennessee guard, a guy who might – Saffold's a little bit taller. Also said Lakin Tomlinson was another potential comp. Liked the way that he was in the running game, the athleticism. And so when healthy, Jonah Jackson is an upgrade from Tevin Jenkins. You can't ignore the fact that Tevin Jenkins, as unavailable as he was for the Bears, played in 10 more games than Jackson over the last 51, over the last three seasons. So that's a concern. But the asterisk is going to be, when healthy, this is an upgrade, and I do understand why the Bears targeted him. It's $17.5 million in terms of one-year commitment, and then nothing else from that is guaranteed. But this is an investment they had to make.
And to your point, David, about the money and the one-year invest, this is also going to more than likely keep Jonah Jackson motivated and knowing the difference between an ouchie and an injury. I'm not already calling the guy soft by any stretch of the imagination. I got to see some unbelievable video that was out there yesterday. You know, when he was playing left guard for the Lions, this guy for 6'4", 310, he can move.
He can move.
And when he gets moving, you best get out of the way or you're going to get run over. It's pretty exciting. So if you are a Bears fan that is on board with Ben Johnson, then just get on board with this move. You got to believe this is a Ben Johnson move. It's either going to be thumbs up or thumbs down for Ben Johnson here. This is not – this is not a guy who's going to come in and dog it. It's just a question is he going to be... I think if Tevin Jenkins was around all the time, I think this is a very similar player. And I think a lot of people like the fact that Tevin Jenkins played to the echo of the whistle or beyond. And I think that's what you're going to get out of Jonah Jackson as well. Plus the fact that he knows the system, knows what he's been in the room with Ben Johnson. You know, he was blocking for David Montgomery. So that's how recently he's been with the Lions. Some good stuff out there. So
can you throw a pass?
I think you get on board. The next question. Okay, now it's all about now what? Okay, and I'm with you. Left guard. Let him be a left guard. Don't monkey around. Don't play musical chairs. Let him get in a position and grind.
I think when you look at this free agency kind of class, when we did the round table, most of the guys outside of Dahlman, the guards have been injured. You got Fries, you got Banks. They all been injured.
Right.
So this guy being injured, I know that's the knock on him. But at the same time, I like the fact that, number one, he worked underneath Ben Johnson's scheme and system. So that's a plus for me. I do like the fact that Dustin kind of took my thing. He's on a one-year deal to me. So to me, prove it. And I like guys that's on a prove-it deal. I saw the same videos that Dustin saw. I mean, him going running downfield, blocking for Montgomery for the touchdown. I mean, he got a little nasty to him. I like that. The thing is, when healthy, I think he's better than Tevin Jenkins, even though he played less games. I don't want him moved around. I want him at left guard, too. I do not want him at center. I feel like if you have him at center, that's just going to mess things up. Have him at left guard. You got your guy right there. Block right there. I love this move. I applaud it. Only for a six-round pick, and you got a starter right on your left guard side. So, great move to me, Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
Voice of Brad Biggs, Biggs Time, 7 a.m. right here on the Mully and Haw Show. What was your reaction to the Bears non-tendering a contract to the linebacker Jack Sanborn, a part-time starter, full-time special teamer the last three seasons after being undrafted out of Wisconsin? Do you think he'll sign elsewhere in free agency?
It would not surprise me at all if Jack Sanborn ends up being on a team that need a special teams presence, that's looking for a little bit of stability and gives him an opportunity to maybe start over somewhere else. He might be a Matt Eberflus guy. He certainly was needed his rookie year, played a lot more than anybody anticipated on a bad Bears team in a tough Bears season. But he played, and he was an undrafted player. He was a try-hard guy. He overachieved. Jack Sanborn was one of the easiest guys in that locker room to like. And maybe he'll come back. Maybe this is just an admission by the Bears that they don't feel like he was worth the $3.2 million that a tendered contract guarantees him. But he's open to test the market to see what's out there. He would look very unusual and bad in a Green Bay Packer uniform. But they do value special teams north of the Cheddar Curtain. I do wonder about that. I do wonder about other guys and other coaches and other staffs that may look at Jack Sanborn and say, that's a football player. We want a football player. His speed is an issue. His speed was an issue when he was a starter for the Bears at linebacker, but his instincts are off the charts too. So that maybe counterbalances that. I'm sorry to see him go if he is indeed gone. And I think you understand it, but you don't have to like it.
Yeah, I don't like it. I think special teams is a big part of football, and worst case scenario, he's a really good backup at multiple positions. I'm just saying, who are they targeting? Is linebacker some deep draft this year and you want a rookie? I haven't seen a bunch of linebackers on the top potential people being out there in free agency. So taking a look, and obviously Biggsy will be better at this than I am, and David, you're probably better than this than I am as well, but just looking at the contract for Tremaine Edmonds, he is guaranteed $8.2 million. His cap number is $17.4 million. If you were to get rid of him, it would be dead $13 million. So you could save $4 million if you were to get rid of him. I think that buys you two Jack Sanborns.
I don't think that they're going to do that, though. I understand why that would be a point of conversation. He has not played up to right. His contract.
I think he's got one more year because next year, in 26, he has zero as far as guaranteed salary. Mm-hmm. Now, who knows? Maybe he plays his way. If you're just looking at the tape, though, from the 2024 season, that's not a guy you would have wanted to pay $72 million to over 5 years.
Agree with that.
I'm sad to see him go, local guy. However, I do understand the fact that you don't, maybe that's a little too pricey for them for a special teamer. So I do understand that. I could see Jack Sanborn going to somewhere in NFC North, or I can see him joining his buddy Eberflus down there in Dallas. I can see that, you know.
Good
players
call.
Love to go to where their old coaches are at. So I can see that happening too, which I wouldn't mind. But this guy has proven that he belongs in this league. So I know he's going to be on an NFL team. To go off what Dustin was saying about the Edmonds thing, I think Jack Sanborn's more prone, like you guys said, to play the middle. They got a lot of guys that look like they could play middle linebacker. I don't know if I would have Edmonds cut right now because they need a linebacker who can cover. I think Sanborn's a little too slow. I'm not saying that Dustin's saying he have Sanborn over Edmonds or have him start. I'm not going to take words out of his mouth. But I just wouldn't have him there for that aspect of just he's a backup. Having Edwards and Sanborn there, man, you would get beat a lot in nickel. And I'm not ready for that. He kind of does exactly the same thing that TJ Edwards does, which is just a cleanup guy, really solid tackler. I think he'll do great, probably, you know, fill in roles somewhere else in the NFL. It just wasn't no spot for him here for the Bears.
It's a great question.
That's the voice of Zach Sabin, a great guest. He'll join us at 9 o'clock this morning right here on The Score with David Haugh, which came as a bigger relief to Cub fans during a 16-1 victory over the Padres. Matt Shaw's first spring training hit or PCA's Little League home run on a day after he missed a game with a quote-unquote hamstring issue.
The medical staff, right, is there to provide information and protect them and help them, and not to keep them off the field. And it's important to use the medical staff as a coach, almost like to your advantage. And it's a lesson that young players go through, and then Pete's not just Pete, everybody goes through. But yesterday was my decision, frankly. It was my decision to just say no. And I want to see you run around in the morning, and then we'll be good with it.
All right. So are you good with PCA having that Little League home run, or are you better with Matt Shaw's first spring training hit?
Well, first of all, I'm glad that Dr. Council cleared that up. I did not know who made the call. And since he was erring on the side of caution, that's why PCA sat and created a minor stir for one day at least. It was great to see him round the bases like that and play with that aggressiveness and show you what kind of catalyst he can be in danger on the base paths for the Cubs. Still wonder, every time he does something like that, I'm going to wonder what he would be like at the top of the batting order. And maybe that'll come eventually. Maybe that's too early to talk about. But the big relief was, I think, Matt Shaw not only getting his first hit, but he had two. Matt Shaw with two hits, good day for the young third baseman. He definitely is looking comfortable at the plate. I hope that it continues. I don't think he's playing today. I think they're going to give him another day off
None of the Cubs are playing today, David.
Oh, they're off today. That's right. They have a day off. That's
good. Question
is,
will he be back under the lights Thursday night?
I hope
against
so.
The Royals.
Yeah, give him a day. He's got today to rest. Play him tomorrow. I think that was a relief. It was a bigger relief to see Matt Shaw get two hits, but it was more fun to watch PCA round the bases.
I think the relief, yes. I think the relief that PCA was back out there as quickly as he was back out there and able to do what he was able to do, which is being dangerous, very dangerous on the base pass. But not only did Matt Shaw get those hits, but he also had a couple of good plays over at third. He looked good. He looked like he played the position. Didn't look like he was learning the position. Looks like he played the position. So this is great. And I think I agree with you, David. With the day off today, I think you get him back out there. Again, this will be something different, too. It'll be under the lights. Not that he's never played a game under the lights, but it'll be different playing under the lights at third out in Arizona. Something different that he hasn't done. So I think it's a next step in this whole process.
I mean, the bigger relief is PCA. I mean, we was worried about his injury and see how it might affect him playing. And then you see him running. I mean, he looks just good as new. I mean, that little league home run is in a watch. And I'm not gonna lie, I'm kind of getting a ticket on Dustin's train about PCA. I think he's gonna be not the best athlete in, you know, Chicago. I would say he would probably be the best player on the Cubs probably in the future. He'll be the face of the Cubs. I mean, he just has so much excitement when he plays. Like, anytime he's out there, whether it's on defense or if it's on, like, him running the base pads when he gets a hit, I mean, you
Impact.
Don't know what to expect.
Impact
and that's
player.
What I love about
yep.
him. And I see in the future with him, I think he will be the face of this team. You don't know what's going to happen with Kyle Tucker and the Cubs. But to me, he's the future right now. And Matt Shaw, yes, it's good to see him out there. But PCA, to me, is just electric.
It's a really a fair question, David.
That's the voice of Bruce Levine. He'll be here at 8:25. The White Sox were off Tuesday, but their starting rotation could be taking shape. Who would be your projected five-man rotation? And many spots in that opening day rotation will be interchangeable throughout the season. Do you have a projected ace in mind?
Well, I think the ace is up for grabs. Do they have a guy that would qualify even to be called an ace? You've got Jonathan Cannon, you've got Sean Burke, you've got Davis Martin, you've got Martin Perez. Those are your probably four locked-in starting candidates, as Bruce has been talking about it, as you pay attention to what's going on. And then I think you wonder about the health of Drew Thorpe. If Drew Thorpe is healthy, he's my fifth starter. And I don't even know that he's that guy to be referred to as a fifth starter. If Drew Thorpe is healthy, he might be your ace over the course of the first half of the season. These guys are biding their time because the aces of this crew are at AAA. We'll start at AAA. Hagen Smith and or Noah Schultz. That's your 1-2 punch. I don't know where Nick Destrini fits in. The Sox have a lot of good young arms. It's going to be the foundation they build on. But if I were to bet who's going to... If I was going to a futures bet for this season, who's going to be the first half ace of the Chicago White Sox, I would take the long shot. I would go to Drew Thorpe.
All right. I think everybody that you mentioned, David, as far as starters, but are we talking how many different guys do you think will start next year?
10 to 12.
Like, yeah, like, I'm thinking, right? I put the
More?
Number at like 11 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going over.
I'd go over.
Right? I'm going over. And I know that none of us really like to say this guy's name, but just in the spirit of the question, how quickly do the Sox need a fifth starter, especially with Drew Thorpe's health being up in the air right now? Mike Clevinger?
Yeah.
I know, right? But he is on this team. I mean, he's a reliever now, Mike Clevinger?
Closer. He's your closer.
He's your
hair on fire closer.
He's your hair on... Okay, but are they going to need a closer? You know, I mean, I just say they may need a fifth starter more than they need a closer. So let's put it this way. I'd put money on it that Mike Clevinger starts a game for the White Sox this year, even though I hate to say it. I will bet that Mike Clevinger starts a game. And Martin Perez is talking like a guy who wants to be a leader and an ace. Now, he's talking the talk. Can he walk the walk?
If Clevinger, I mean, he's a closer. I mean, you probably won't see much of him this season. That's why I do kind of agree with Dustin. He might start just to get some reps because this is just ridiculous. Throw a hat in the air for their rotation and their ace, really. I would say their ace right now would probably be opening day, maybe Jonathan Cannon. My five-man rotation, I got Cannon, Perez, Davis Martin, Burke, and Thorpe, if
yep.
healthy.
Okay.
That's my five rotation. You said it, David, though. Their aces are in the minors, and this is not looking good at all for this Chicago White Sox team.
That's a great question.
Bulls guard Ayo Dosunmu revealed that he could have conceivably played through the shoulder injury that requires season-ending surgery, but he chose to take care of it now.
It was tolerable pain, but it was pain that had to be addressed. And, you know, talking to the doctors over time, it felt like eventually I would have to come across that path of having surgery. So I technically could have, you know, played through the season, but it would have been like a tit-for-tat thing, like they went in, out. You never know when the shoulder could have popped out. So I just thought it was the best to fix it.
Do you agree with the decision, or do you think Io should have played through the pain and taken care of the injury in the offseason?
Well, look at the Bulls. They're going nowhere. 10th place doesn't really count. It's a play-in situation. If that mattered as much as people may want it to matter, you could justify playing through the pain, but I don't think it made sense. This is a smart choice. This is somebody with taking the long view to this, and I don't have any problem with it. It's not a guy who's avoiding it. This doesn't have anything to do with his ability to be tough and play through something. Nobody's going to doubt Io's toughness. This is him saying, I'm going to get ready for next year when maybe the games will matter, when maybe things will matter more than they do right now. What this does, as much as anything, pragmatically, or from a practical standpoint, it does complicate his trade value. So if you were going to deal him in the offseason, this might make it harder to do, because it's hard to trade damaged goods. And the minute he goes under the knife, he's damaged goods. And I applaud him for doing this and being as open as he is, because he's getting ready for next season when he's in the final year of his deal. So no problem with Io, but I do think he just made it. And I think this is a good thing. I want them to keep Io DeSumo. He's an asset to the city, to the Bulls, and to everyone who is a Bulls fan. But he just made himself harder to trade.
Made himself harder to trade, and that might be a good thing if you want Io to stick around. I have no problem with Io taking the time. They said this is a six-month rehab. He's not even waiting till the end of the season. He's having this surgery this morning, today at some point. That's when he's going under. So he'll get out, and then he will begin rehab immediately and hopefully be up and running and ready to go in October when the Bulls are back on the court.
Smart decision by Io. I feel like in the game, this is a business at the same time. You're going into a contract year. You want to make sure that you're healthy. Yes, it does probably hurt the Bulls a little bit because, yes, you push back now his trade value. If you're planning on trading him, you probably now can't trade him in the offseason, but he might be a target by the trade deadline. So overall, and then you can see how good he plays. But I love Io. Like he's, I already said, Bouzelis is my favorite Bull. He's probably my second favorite Bull. I love the local guys, especially when they play hard. So smart decision by Io. I love it overall. Take care of yourself, and I hope his surgery goes well.
It's a good question.
That, the voice of Chris Chelios. He's here at 844, our rep from BetMGM. And when the Blackhawks return to the ice tonight over at the United Center, do you expect new goalie Spencer Knight to be between the pipes? How much more likely are you to watch since Knight had such a great debut on Monday night? Can they make it three in a row against Brady Tkachuk and those Senators from Ottawa?
I don't know that they can make it three in a row. The Senators, people are like, who are the Senators? The Senators are pretty good, 30-25-5. And Brady Tkachuk, as people remember from the Four Nations faceoff, is a load. And he's a very skilled hockey player. I hope Spencer Knight is back in net. I think you ride the hot hand. I'll be disappointed if he's not. I haven't seen anything reported as to what their plans are. When you're a team struggling to the extent that Blackhawks are struggling, I think you want to take advantage of every little thing that you can. And right now you've got a little momentum. Back-to-back victories for the first time since December. A hot goaltender who got a standing ovation the other night. And a Wednesday night game in a lost season. Yes, I think you put him back in net. You hope Bedard gets hot on the young gun line with Nazar and Slager. What's their collective age? Is it 50? I mean, yeah, probably 60. 21, 22, and 19. What's that? That's like, geez, 62. That's crazy. That's their top line tonight, I believe. So, yeah, I'm watching. I'm probably watching. I like watching Hawks games anyway. You guys know that. But I think I will make more of an effort to stay with it longer if Spencer Knight is in net.
Yeah, Spencer Knight would be a reason to definitely tune in. But again, if you got into the Four Nations, which I definitely did, then you know this is a reason to watch tonight. Is it Brady Tkachuk? Now, David, who would be most likely to be on Brady Kachuk's checklist? Who is he potentially going to drop the gloves for and fight tonight on the Blackhawks?
Oh, that's Bertuzzi.
Okay.
Tyler Bertuzzi.
I mean, do you think that happens?
No.
No?
I don't think Brady Tkachuk is going to go through the league and pick a guy in every team to punch out.
I don't know. I think that's a way to get your name constantly in the headlines. There is some competition. So that game is at a 7. That's a 7 o'clock puck drop, right?
Yeah.
So, it is March.
7:30. It's early tonight. 6:30.
Ooh, 6:30. So
yes.
It is number 5 Florida at number 7 Alabama, if college basketball is your thing. March is here.
Watch Brady Tkachuk.
All right. I'm just saying there is some competition. I want to know who Brady Tkachuk's going to fight. So a same game parlay. Can we make this bet? Can we – Brady Tkachuk – scores a goal, Brady Tkachuk drops the gloves, the Sens win on the money line. What kind of a price can we get there? Yeah. And I hope Spencer Knight's in goal.
Yeah, he's not dropping the gloves tonight.
No?
I don't think he's dropping the gloves.
We're keeping an eye on that. That could be Brandon's open for tomorrow.
Now I want it to happen. First, I didn't. I was like, I don't really want to see too much fighting in hockey. That's just me. But besides the point. If Spencer
Brandon's a lover, not a fighter.
Yeah, I'm a lover, not a fighter. If Spencer Knight is not in the goal, like, I don't want to watch. I want to see the young talent from the Blackhawks. I want to see Bedard, Nazar. I want to see now Spencer Knight, like, ride the hot hand, ride the momentum. Like, I was all into that hockey game when I saw Spencer Knight play. And then he's coming out. He was your star last time, your number one star. I want to see him play, and if he don't play, I think that betters your chances overall. If he's the future goaltender and he's your goaltender now, and your future's already here when you got your star Connor Bedard and you got Nazar here, let the future begin now. Well, I mean, what else you got to lose? I don't want to see Soderblom. I don't want to see that.
Yeah,
honestly,
I don't either.
I don't. No. I want to see Spencer Knight in goal. That would make me happy. If he's not in goal, I'm probably going to watch very little, be honest with you.
Trade deadline is Friday. Ryan Donato is going to be a hot name. I bet you I think he'll play tonight. If he doesn't play tonight, it means there's a deal brewing, perhaps, to keep him healthy. Also, with Brady Tkachuk, I hope that he and Ottawa get kind of mad at each other. I hope he gets fed up with being in Ottawa because he was disgusted the other night when the Ottawa fans booed the American National Anthem. So we can hope that maybe that creates some sort of bad blood and he wants to get out of Ottawa and maybe finds his way back to the States and maybe he lands in Chicago.
You're just trying to find a star with Bedard so bad.
You need a partner.
What about Marner? Mitch?
Yeah, Mitch Marner. He can come too. Bring both of them. Oh my gosh. Mitch Marner, Brady Tkachuk, and Connor Bedard? Now we're talking. All right, we're going to keep talking. The extra point is next. A lot went on with the Bears yesterday, but even more around the league. Which NFL headline grabbed your attention the most? We'll talk about it next. Mully and Haw, Mully out today. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Outside of the Bears' moves, trading for Jonah Jackson and not tendering Jack Sanborn, what was the biggest NFL headline on a day full of big news? And what do you think the next big headline for the Bears will be?
A lot of stuff going on around the league yesterday. Sam Darnold in Minnesota not coming back right now. Did not get the franchise tag. Around the league, only two players were tagged for the first time in a very long time. You saw Devontae Adams go on the loose. But to me, Saquon Barkley signing a contract extension with the Philadelphia Eagles was somewhat remarkable. We hear all the time about what happens to running backs past their 28th birthday. And the Eagles, you could say and justify, they got their money's worth already. They won a Super Bowl because of Saquon Barkley. Yes. They got their money's worth on an investment where he was already a very rich man. And this $37.75 million deal last year, the three-year contract he signed in free agency, he left the Giants for the Eagles. That paid off immediately. So what did they do? They didn't say, all right, now we're going to look at the next big thing and maybe plan for life after Saquon, whenever that may be. They gave him a raise. This is remarkable in the NFL. They gave him a bonus, essentially. They signed him to a two-year extension, $41.2 million, to a running back with all those miles on those tires. This is a remarkable thing, I believe. I wonder how it's going to change what free agent running backs are asking for. I wonder how it's going to change the way that running backs might be valued Or will teams look at this as the exception to the rule, which is very possible? But you can guarantee that Najee Harris and Aaron Jones and some of these free agent running backs are going to look at this and say, our price just went up. James Cook in Buffalo's thinking that. My price just went up. As for the next Bears headline, I think it will be on day one of free agency where they ink a deal or they announce an agreement or it's reported that they agree. They're going to get – they got to get Drew Dahlman, don't they? They got to get a center now. They started the rebuild of the offensive line. That to me would be – maybe it's wishful thinking, but the next Bears headline.
Probably right about the next Bears headline. I think it will be – offensive line. Not so sure, David. I'm not so sure about spending $15 to $18 million on a starting center at this point. Now, it could be the replacement for the other guard, right? Maybe we're going to see how much does Ben Johnson think of the right guard for the Lions. Could he be on his
Kevin
way
Zeitler.
Down? Right?
Yeah.
Could he be on his way down? And could this be a flex that Ben Johnson definitely in charge of the roster? But I think, and maybe this is because of the $20 million or plus jump in the salary cap, but only two players were tagged? Only two. That surprised me. Is that because there's so much money to spend? Are the GMs and owners being better about spending their money so they didn't have to tag guys? Is it the fact that there was a $20 million increase? But for there only to be two, I mean, I felt like it used to be half the league at least use the franchise tag every year.
It was the fewest number of players since 1994 that
okay,
were tagged.
There you go. I mean, thank you for making my point. That's what to me jumps off the page, that only two guys, and of course the one guy the Bears wanted, every Bear fan wanted, is one of the two guys that got tagged.
Okay, I'm going to take a different approach a little bit just to have a little different answer. Obviously the biggest news out of everything was Barkley to me. That's big for a running back. However, out of everyone that got tagged, which is only two, but I'm looking at what happened earlier, the Bengals tagging T. Higgins. And the reason why I'm watching that is a Bears fan. You know the Bengals, they're kind of tight with their money. Joe Burrow kind of put the pressure on them saying, hey, Jamar Chase needs to get paid. T. Higgins is now trying to get paid. Somebody else is trying to get paid. And that's Trey Hendrickson.
Ooh, I like that.
Now, with that being said, he is a, you know, pass rusher. Bears need a pass rusher. Guess what? He also played under Dennis Allen when he played for the Saints. This guy is coming off of 17.5 sacks consecutive years. I'm just saying, a trade could happen.
That's an awesome idea.
Just take your eyes on that. A trade could happen. You probably don't got to give up much for that because you probably got to pay him. He's 30 years old. You may have to pay him a little bit. So you probably can give a low pick, maybe.
He's going to be cheaper than Myles Garrett would be.
Would be cheaper than Myles Garrett. And he's already given you 17 sacks. Him with Sweat, that would be amazing. Now, I don't think that's going to be the next Bears headline, though. That might happen, you know, a little bit after
but
free
because
agency.
T. Higgins was tagged, that makes him harder to keep.
Harder to keep. So with that being said, I don't think that's going to be the next big Bears headline. It would be great. I think I'm with you, David. They're going to sign a center, Drew Dahlman. If they miss out on him, be on the lookout for maybe Ryan Kelly, a little bit older for the Colts. I can see them signing a center overall.
That's a great idea, Brandon Fry. What do you think of Brandon's idea? What do you think about the Bears trade yesterday for Jonah Jackson? 312-644-6767. Let us know. We've got Big's time, but we've got time for your opinions as well. Coming up next, it's Mully and Hall. Mully out today. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Here we go. Come on.
The Rams traded Jonah Jackson, whom they added in free agency last year to the Chicago Bears, for a sixth-round draft pick this year. The Rams are not responsible for any of the money in this contract. The Bears take on the full $17.5 million salary. Chicago was looking to upgrade its offensive line. Many people wondered if they would take a run at Trey Smith, but Kansas City franchised Trey Smith. The Bears then pivot and go and trade a sixth-round draft pick for Jonah Jackson from L.A. Jonah Jackson goes back to the NFC North, where he played in Detroit, and now will be in charge of helping protect Caleb Williams.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Mully out today. That was a familiar voice of Adam Schefter on ESPN. talking about the Bears deal. On Tuesday, they trade for an offensive line starter. They did not get Trey Smith in free agency because Trey Smith was tagged by the Kansas City Chiefs, who took care of their own books and now are going to fit him under the cap and keep their best offensive lineman. The Bears had to pivot because they couldn't leave the offensive line neglected. This is the next best thing. They targeted a guy. He played for Ben Johnson in Detroit, and now he's coming to Chicago to be the translator, if you want to call him that, the starter at left guard. He is expensive, $17.5 million, but it's money well spent if you're investing in the offensive line, the weakest position group on this team. And it can't be. You can't give up 68 sacks again. You can't be unable to run the football. You need offensive line depth and strength and talent. And Jonah Jackson gives you all of that. Let's go out to the phone lines, 312-644-6767. Fred is in Forest Park. Good morning, Fred. What do you think of the trade?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. So, I see that he had started all these games with Detroit. He made the Pro Bowl, and then the Rams inked him to a three-year deal, but it looks like he never was able to stay on the field, got replaced, and I'm wondering, you know, if they offered to pay the guy and he never made it, there's got to be a reason there. Was it injuries, and are we taking on an injury-prone player?
It's a fair question, Fred, and yes, that's the answer. Yes, he has been, I don't know if I want to say injury-prone, but he is injury-prone. He's been prone to injury. He's had the last 51 games, he's played in 39 of them. 29 of them, I'm sorry, 29 of them. Tevin Jenkins played in 39 of them. That's 10 games fewer.
I'm just, like I said before, like looking at this free agency, like all the guards are pretty much injured. If you look at the top ones, you got Fries, you got Banks, and then even Jenkins in there. They're all injured. I would just think if Jonah Jackson, say if he was released, where would he rank in this free agency class overall? And how much would you pay for him? Because how much are people going to pay for Fries and Banks? Like, where is that annually? Is it around, like, is Fries going to get 15, 16 million? So, I mean, kind of look at it that way, too, for listeners probably objecting to Jonah Jackson being on the Bears.
It's expensive. There's no doubt about it. But that's a good point, Brandon. $17.5 million. If he were part of this free agent class, he would be at the top of it in terms of the guards. I do believe that when you look at his past, then you see there's obvious talent, there's athleticism, and there has been the injury, though. You can't deny that. A year ago this week, the first day of free agency, he signed with the Rams. The Rams wanted him. They announced a three-year, $51 million deal. They pivoted quickly. They do that in L.A. They don't waste a lot of time. They have a lot of they embrace change. They flip rosters. They go after people. They're aggressive in that front office, no doubt about it. But I think they gave up fairly quickly on Jonah Jackson because he wasn't the best fit. They tried him at center. Then he came back from an injury. He had a shoulder problem. And you can't deny the fact that in the last three seasons, he's only played in 29 games. Tevin Jenkins has been more durable than Jonah Jackson. That's the biggest reason, if the only reason for concern. From a talent standpoint, when I reached out yesterday to a couple people around the league, he wasn't deemed to be a lesser offensive lineman than Tevin Jenkins. He was actually described to me by an NFL assistant coach who coaches offensive linemen as a top-tier guard compared to Roger Saffold. That, to me, is pretty high praise. And it's a one-year commitment. If he doesn't fulfill expectations, the second year, the $17.5 million in 2026 is not guaranteed. And if he does, it's money well spent. This is a solid pivot. This is a good move. And for people concerned, I get it. Health is always going to be a concern. But you can't identify offensive line as the biggest weakness, and then criticize them trying to make it into a strength. Right now, you've got Darnell Wright at right tackle, and I'm going to say, until we hear otherwise, Jonah Jackson at left guard. The other three spots up for grabs. Does this affect the Bears' approach to free agency or the NFL draft? Free agency, yes. Draft, no. I don't think it affects their draft philosophy. I don't think it can. You want to always go into the draft, especially for a team like the Bears. It's idealistic, yes. But you still want to think best player available. Highest player on the board. If that's Ashton Jeanty, then you've got a dilemma. If it's a running back, then you've got a dilemma. But you are a team now that's addressing your offensive line needs, so maybe there is an indirect connection between who you draft and who you are able to acquire or sign in this phase of the offseason. A lot of questions remain, but this is a good answer that the Bears obtained on Tuesday. I wonder what Brad Biggs thinks of the trade. We'll ask him next. It's Biggs time. Mullin Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.